Okay. Hey, David.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good. We're talking with David Poston from South Carolina, and a lot of forestry forum members refer to you as
the goat.
Yeah, the goat. Hey,
that's bad.
Do you actually remember where that started? I never dug it up. I'm taking it that they've been doing it since you was a kid.
No, somebody started it on the forestry farm, and I can't remember who it was. And I don't even. Evidently, being 59 years old, I evidently was trying something a 30-year-old man should be doing, and evidently that's probably how I got the name the goat. I can't remember.
You know, I was talking to I Saw Logs, Marcel, a couple of days ago. We're great friends, and we talk quite often. And you come up, and I guess I've been told now that I have an accent. You do not have an accent. Marcel says he doesn't have an accent, but when he said your name, he pronounces it Poston.
Yeah, he has an accent. What? In fact, his handwriting has an accent. I can only understand half of it.
It does. And if we ever do this with Marcel, you know what's going to happen. He lapses he lapses into French once in a while.
He does.
So do you remember how you found the forestry forum and what the heck was you looking for when you did?
Yes, I got a friend who kept telling me to get a sawmill, and I had helped him on and off with his wood miser. During that time, he never would let me run that wood miser, but I was sure learning off there. So when he recommended me get a sawmill, he told me to get a wood miser, and he said, please, if you get one with the hydraulics, because this one is killing me. Well, I started looking on the wood miser website and looking at all the things that you could put on them. In fact, I was building my own on their website, and I came to a simple set. I'd never heard of a simple set, didn't know what a simple set did, knew nothing about it. So I Googled simple set, and it sent me right off the bat to the forestry forum. So that's basically how I found the forestry forum, and when I clicked on it, everything I wanted to know about a simple set was on there. And that's how I found it.
It's amazing to me anymore. Well, not so much anymore, but it used to be amazing to me how people would find things, come to the forestry forum. But I still to this day am not smart enough to start my search there. I'll go out on Google looking for something. I remember one time in particular, it's been a few years ago, I was still working at the mill, and there was this great big old bug I found. And I picked this bug up, and I was looking at it, and all of a sudden it made this great big snap, and it popped out of my hand, about scared the bejesus out of me. And I said, I'd never seen such a thing. So I get on the internet, and I'm looking all over for it, trying to figure out what it is. Turns out, I find something that looks like the bug. I come back, and there it is on my own website on the forestry forum. It was a click bug. Dang had given me the answer at some point, or give somebody an answer about a click bug. It was a click bug. Never saw one, and there was the answer. You would think it, you know, you wouldn't find stuff like that, but
I know you think you'd take you to an anthropologist website somewhere.
Well, you know, Tom went to college for the study of bugs. I forget what the name of that is, but I'm pretty sure it's not bugologist, but something.
But anyway.
So, I know your day job has something to do with forestry, but I don't know exactly what you do.
Yeah, I work for the South Carolina Forestry Commission. I'm a forest technician, and basically what that means, we go out occasionally and identify tree diseases, what's causing trees to do certain things on landowners' land. We also, we fly, I don't literally fly, we have pilots that fly for us.
Yeah, goats don't tend to fly.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We don't stay up that long, but we fly and look for pine beetle infestations. And my job, literally, we'll take chainsaws or dozers that go in there and take out the infestation part. But our main objective is forest fires first.
Now, do you guys do? I've seen some of your fire pictures and videos online. Do you guys do prescribed burns and stuff like that, or is it pretty much just wildfire fighting?
We do a good bit of prescribed burning. We basically, here in the Carolinas, we deal with a lot of wet weather, and during the time we need to be doing burning. And some years we don't get to burn as much land as we need to. And when the winter is dry, we get to do a lot of prescribed burning. But however, since the winter is dry, we're also dealing with, at the same time, forest fires.
When it's wet, you're dealing with...
Yes. Yes. The ground can actually be just as muddy can be, but it only takes a two-day wind to dry out the fuel on the ground, and you plus have a low humidity, and if the weather conditions are exactly right, it doesn't take much more than an electric fence to arc over on a piece of broom straw, and you've got a nice field fire, which eventually will spread to the woods if you can't stop it.
Wow. You know, I'm beginning to wonder if what we're going to be dealing with this spring, if we don't start getting a regular winter. Here it is, getting close to Christmas, and the last couple of days it's been 50-some degrees in northern Michigan. We don't have a lick of snow. So I can, if things don't turn around, it's going to be drier and dry come spring.
I know.
So back to your sawmilling. What does your day usually consist of? Do you saw after work or mostly on the weekends?
Well, after being with the forestry 29-plus years, I don't really have to do that much work when it comes to the actual trees themselves. They mainly let the younger crowd do that, but I'm on call for forest fires, which gives me a lot of time to saw. Usually I'll do anything from sawing small orders to actually bigger orders up to the 4,000 and 5,000 board foot range. But the way to make my job easier is in my scheduling. If I think about my scheduling and let the customer know when and he can expect to have his lumber, and it makes my job go a whole lot easier using when I communicate with the customer.
I see. So
yeah, I may be sawing 25 to 30 cedar posts for a customer, and I have a lot of walk-in customers that want to bring one log in for a mantle, or maybe three logs in for lumber for nothing more than building birdhouses for Christmas, and I'll work them in right then. I'll saw it while they're waiting on it, so I can get that job done and I can get them out of there. And generally, the customer likes it. He's going to come back if he can get a job done that quick.
You mentioned the birdhouses. We know you don't just saw lumber. Some of those little birdhouses you create are quite creative.
Yes. That's how I started out woodworking, was building birdhouses years ago, and I would take my trees to the guy that I learned that I was off bearing for. I would take my trees to him, and he would saw my lumber, and I'd build birdhouses. And eventually, as his health started declining, that's when I got my sawmill, and I started off sawing lumber to build my birdhouses. And then once the general public found out I had a sawmill, plus when he passed away, all his customers started coming to me, well, then that's basically when my business took off, sawing. But I'm like sort of different than Magic Man. If I thought I had to saw logs every day, just saw logs, I would go crazy. I have to mix up what I do. I'll saw those logs maybe for 3 days in a row. And then I've got to do something else. I'm either building benches, I'm building birdhouses, or I'm building an outhouse for a customer. And it just, it kind of mixes up my lifestyle when it comes to sawmill. It makes it more enjoyable to me. Yeah. I just don't like doing the same thing every day. I don't like it.
Yeah, me neither. I like to keep things mixed up. Yeah, and the one thing that I've noticed that I'll probably have to take a clue on, because we're not getting any snow, is your snowless snowmen you made out of them cookies. Those look to be quite popular.
Yeah, we sold quite a few of the snowmen, and we sold them to customers to put on their porch for Christmas. And here today it's 70 degrees, and the temperature for Christmas Day, they're expecting it to be in the 70s. So
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get any snow or not. I can remember, I think it was around 1994 or so, I can remember one time there not being snow here at Christmas, and it was so warm. We took a drive, and they were out golfing on the local golf course. I don't know how good the conditions were, but I'm sure they were out there just saying that they had did it on Christmas Day.
That's right.
So, in this journey, if you had to do anything different from where you started, what would you do? Or would you have done it just like you've done it?
Well, I've thought about that a lot of times. I've had my sawmill for 5 years. The band mill allows me to do a lot of different things versus if I had a circle mill. And I could do a lot of things with a band mill, but if I thought about it, what would I change? If I could do it all over again, what would I change? And I would have basically went to the LT7. Now, I've got the LT40, and it really does everything that I could possibly do. But the LT70, it would allow me to just to saw bigger logs. And I've got some big logs that come in here. In fact, I've got something so big it actually pushes what my LT40. Can do. I mean, you have to be really careful when you saw some of the big stuff. I saw some logs up to 39 inches poplar, and it's time consuming, because you actually have to turn that log literally maybe 2 inches at a time if you keep flipping it, because you got to keep whittling it. And if I had the LT70, it would just give me more power on the wider slabs and basically slabs that I use for tabletops or benches.
You know, it still amazes me. You talk about the size of log with the sawmill, that, you know, I used to run a big circle mill for years and years, a 60-inch, and which was considered a big commercial mill around here. But that saw, as big around as it was and as menacing as it looked, would only saw through 20 inches of wood.
That's right.
And by the time, if you rolled up a 30-inch log, even after 20 years of sawing, a 30-inch log rolled on that carriage, and first of all, if the carriage didn't tip up off the track, you was always wondering if it was gonna. It would always make you a little bit nervous when you had twice as much log hanging up over top of that saw blade as the blade was going in it. We had a vertical edger, so you could set the top. You could set an edger blade to cut right exactly where the top of the saw was and have that drop off so your blade wasn't completely buried in the log. But you still had to, once you made that cut, you'd come back and you'd have to, I think, what are we calling it on the forum? Bibbying the log?
We
always call it gun barrel, where you'd turn it around a little bit and you'd shave it, cut a little bit. And a lot of times I'd have all these wacky slabs hanging off the edge because, and occasionally you'd have to get out there with a chainsaw. And being a commercial sawyer, the last thing you want to look at is a chainsaw or have to touch wood. But occasionally that'd happen.
Well, that's probably one of the most dangerous parts of being a sawyer is, we are so hard-headed to find out what's inside a log, and we are not going to let that log whip us, that we will actually tear up a mill sometimes just trying to get a log sawed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I want to talk about something that's been happened in the last couple of days that's been giving me the giggles here at the house. You and your attempts to enter the Christmas contest.
Well, I put in everything I could.
Now remember, we're probably going to air this before the contest is over. So if you want to give the answer and add your competition, that's up to you. But
no, I'm not going to give the answer. But I bet I entered Poston, Tom, and Ben there, and every which way you could. Poston, Tom, Ben there. I thought that was the three words. And then that's what made me ask, were the words together? Well, then you kind of gave the hint what part of the interview you were doing with Tammy, what part that the answer was in. So we narrowed it down, and me, Paul, and Julie got together, and we wrote down every word you said. And then we started putting the three words you said into the... I wore my laptop just about out. And I put every three words you said, I'd have to put in three words, then the next three words, then back up a word to catch to make that the third word. And we just kept on, and Paul says, "Daddy, try this." And then as soon as he said it, before I even tried it...
You knew.
It hit me like a brick. that is it.
Yep. It's true that I told you guys the answer.
And you were right. I felt stupid. I felt like an idiot.
You know, it's funny. Tammy's mom was here visiting the other night, and Tammy played that recording for her, and it got done, and... Tammy had described to her mom what was going on, that there was a phrase in there that they had to look for the contest. And she listened to it once, and at the end, Tammy says, "What do you think? Do you want to listen to it again?" And she says, "No, I know what it is."
I know. That's what made me pop a sweat when you said that.
But it's probably because she knows me so well, because I told her, you know, I said, "Look, I can be tricky that way. This year, I thought, you know, I'd give everybody a break, that maybe we'd just have people take a picture of the Christmas tree and post it on the forum.
Right.
That would get you entered. And Tam IM, she says, "Oh, no." She says, "It's got to, in true tradition, it's got to be diabolical." So
okay, that's the first thing I put in there. Got to be diabolical.
Oh.
I put that in there. And then Paul says, "Daddy, that's not the way you spell diabolical." I said, "Holy crap. Now I'm all to it all again."
Well, we're getting, thanks to you, I do believe, we're getting quite a few more entries, because I did give some more clues that either people are just kind of just getting around to it now, or they're starting to figure it out. I can't imagine having to listen to that recording over and over and over again.
Well, I did. The thing that drove me crazy was I used my headphones. And when I would use my headphones, Tammy would talk in one ear, and you would talk in the other. So it kept shifting everything in my head from one side to the other. It wasn't in stereo. It was not in stereo. I don't know what you call it was in. But it just go from one ear to the next would literally drive you crazy.
Yeah. Well, she was on one side of the computer and I was on the other, so that's what happens.
Yeah.
Hey, I was going to tell you about something that happened here the other night that it just amazed me. You've heard of, is it Firefox or Foxfire?
Foxfire.
It's like a bioluminescent type thing.
Well, right.
Tammy and I decorated our great big blue spruce tree out here. You might have seen a picture of it or a video of it. And when I've been taking the dogs out lately at night, I've been going out the front yard so I can admire the tree. Well,
right.
Do you remember when you was here for the pig roast? Right across the road from my house, there's a big hill. It's just all trees across the road from my house.
That's right.
Well, I was looking at the tree, And on behind, I see this light, and I'm thinking, how in the world did I get like a blue-green light in my tree? So I walk around the tree, and it wasn't in my tree. It was beyond the tree, but it was way up high. And I'm thinking, oh, it's a helicopter, or it's an airplane. It's just so I watched it, and it didn't move.
Right.
So I get closer to it, and I'm thinking, what in the world is that? So I went and got Tammy, and of course she didn't have boots and shoes on. It was drizzling outside. It was kind of cloudy. And I said, you got to see this, Tammy. I don't know what this is. So we go out, and she looks, and she says, what on earth? And then she says, you know what that is? That's a drone. And I said, I don't think so, because I don't know as if drones have a light on them at night like that. But
right.
Then I think, well, it's got to be. So I start walking closer, and I get across the road, and I see it's not in the air at all. It's on the limb of an oak tree right across the road.
Huh.
And it's glowing.
It wasn't your gas can, was it?
No. I'm looking at it, and it's just luminescent, a small spot, just a light glow. And from a distance, it was actually a little bit brighter. And then I started noticing there was a spot here and a spot there. There were several of them up in the trees there that were glowing. And
right.
Tammy had walked over there with me, and I'm thinking, wow, what is this? Because we've had warm weather, we've had foggy weather, we've had some weird weather, and I'm thinking this has got to be something, you know, like a lichen that's grown that's weird or something going on.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited, and I'm looking for it. So we call my son and wake him up and make him come over. And I said, you got to come and see this. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life, and you're not going to want to miss it. So about 5 minutes later, my son drives up and gets out, and he's looking at it, and he's saying, wow. He says, look down over the hill, down through them evergreens. He says, and then about that time, a little breeze came, and it looked like fireflies down through them trees. So we're thinking, and I'm thinking, who else can I share this with? Because this is something I've never seen before. So I'm thinking, well, the neighbor behind me would really like this, but he's up in the Upper Peninsula for the last couple of days of black powder season.
Right.
So then another neighbor down the road used to be the superintendent of the schools. I thought, he's an outdoor guy. He'd want to see this. So I call him up, and he's wondering why I'm calling him at 9 o'clock at night. And I said, Joe, you got to come and see this. I don't know what it is. So he said, and I convinced him to get dressed and come down, and in the rain, in the dark, in the road. So he's looking at it, and he says, wow. He says, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to have to go home and Google it. And well, if you figure out what it is, you let me know. So he walked home, and I didn't want to go in because I didn't want to miss something. I didn't know if something was going to start hatching out of the trees or what was going to go on.
Right.
So eventually I came in, and when I come through the door, a light went on in my head.
Huh.
You know them goofy little laser things that people are sticking in their yards that shine lights on? Somebody down over that hill had one of those, and it was bleeding past, clear up the hill and into my trees up here, and putting these random dots like 30, 40 feet apiece apart on each other. And I was so unhappy to find out that might be what I just wanted it to be something else. I wanted it to be something else. But as it turned out, Merry Christmas, Jeff. So.
As seen on TV. They show it on TV all the time.
Yep. You know, and then I did look it up, and there has been a couple instances where a pilot had reported that a laser had been shined in this aircraft, and of course that's a big no-no, and they tracked it down, and it turned out it was one of those lights that was shoved in the ground, so a Christmas display, and the guy turned it off, but, you know,
Right.
I never.
That's a good sport.
Why, when I was out there standing in the rain in amazement, that, you know, that is, I've never been so amazed at Christmas lights probably since I was 3 or 4 years old. So before we finish this up, I was just wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to cover or share with the members of the forum, or.
Well, yeah, I've thought about something for a long time, and I know it's kind of impossible for a lot of people, and I didn't realize it until I did it. But if you ever get a chance to go to a pig roast, you really need to make time. I literally had to make time to go, and I'm glad I did. And not only a pig roast, if some of the members are having something closer to you, say the Sycamore Project or Magic's Man's Chicken Crisp, or maybe who is it, UConn having the chili,
yep,
chili peel thing, go to one of those and meet members. It'll do something to you. I mean, you see people type on here, and you see their post and their replies, and you see their still pictures. But what you can learn by talking to some of these members is you can't learn it by reading. I mean, you can learn a lot from them by reading their posts, but their ideas and their answers to your questions can go a lot more in depth on what you're trying to learn. It's a once in a lifetime adventure if you just go once, and I would recommend it to everybody.
Well, I'm hoping that that's not a once in a lifetime for you, because I'd surely like to have you guys come back.
Well, then give away a gas card next time.
Oh, maybe. I'm actually getting a chance to go and do something. I don't want to say when I'm going to go because, you know, with Tammy being here, because she's not going to go. But I'm going to get to go and do something next month that I've, because of gas prices, that I've never done in my entire life. And I'll fill everybody on the forum when I get back. But it's thanks to another forum member that I'm going to go do this. And
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. Well, David, thanks for taking the time. And I'm hoping that people will like what we're doing here. I think it's kind of neat. I get to talk to a lot of members at the pig roast, but very rarely in depth. And you know what that's like after being here, that I'm pretty, you know, with a lot of people here, I'm spread pretty thin because I'm cooking the pig and doing that. And rarely do I get a chance to sit down for very long at a time and talk to anybody. So this is kind of cool for me too.
It's hard just to go to the pig roast and be able to talk to everybody. This podcast thing you're doing, in my opinion, is one of the greatest things that's been on the forum since I've been here. And you know, I'm assuming it'll all these podcasts will go into one folder to where we can just go straight to podcasts, and I can even listen to maybe something that somebody said, you know, years down the road, when I'm gone, somebody can go back and listen to you and I talk on the podcast.
Yep, and that's what I'm hoping. And, you know, one of the things since I started the Forestry Forum that I've been adamant about, and that is protecting our content. And that's why, you know, people get a little worked up over the pictures and things, but from day one, I wanted all that stuff to remain together. So it went down the road after me or after whatever, that it's all there to be used. So,
right.
And that's right. With these as well. I'm going to house these files on the Forestry Forum. I think there's some neat stuff that we can do possibly, because we have, it's called the RSS feed. Don't ask me what RSS stands for, because I haven't figured it out yet, but it's built into the forum. And this RSS feed can there are apps that you can get, and you can select that feed or plug that feed in, and it'll actually tell you when new content, buzz your phone or whatever. If a new podcast has been made, buzz your phone and let you listen to it on your phone or your tablet and things like that. So them are some things that I'm trying to teach myself as we go into this, and hopefully maybe get the quality of the recordings up. And although I think the one with Tammy and I'm hoping this one works out, because I've got my 99-cent store headset on, and we're going to see if the microphone works a little bit better.
Well, RSS stands for Rich Site Summary. And a lot of people, I think, they call it like a really simple syndication. And I saw your little icons that are showing up on the forum to where you can click on them now.
Yep.
But that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's part of my building the infrastructure for this. I actually have I'm going to ask your opinion. The podcast, it's going to be like a board where you can click on and then go in and look. Where do you think I should put that? Like at the top or down at the bottom? I don't want to put it in the center. I think it needs to be either at the top or the bottom so it's easily found. Or don't you think it matters?
Wherever you put it, will we be able to comment?
Yep.
On each podcast?
Yep.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to, almost like the Christmas contest, is insert the file in there, do a little summary of what it's going to be about, and then you'll be able to post on the topic just like you would any other topic.
Right. A podcast comes out weekly or bi-weekly or monthly, that's the way I look at it. It's sort of like a newspaper. It could be posted under news. Right now, under news, you have Enter the 2015 Christmas Contest. It could be posted under the topic news.
Sure. We can announce it there. It still has to be somewhere, but... either here or there, we'll figure it out, and it's nothing that's not that hard to change the Forestry Forum is, I'm usually changing things. Biggest reason I don't sometimes is there's a people out there that don't like change, so, our format, I do things subtly. Now, some of the older members that don't like change, they don't understand that things are completely different than they used to be, but I change them just a little bit of time, and they fool them, and they never realize it. So,
right.
Well, David, thank you, and I'm wishing you guys a happy Christmas down there, and Merry Christmas, and I said Christmas.
That's right. It was good talking to you, Jeff. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
You too, David. And, one more thing I got to ask you about. Tam I Am's Christmas present.
You're breaking up, Jeff.
I got to ask you about Tammy's Christmas present.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
Alrighty, sir.
RSS.
I'll
talk to you later.
We will talk again. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jeff.